With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, blimey.
Welcome to the Screamers and Howlers podcast.
You are paid to have an opinion. I'm paid to work.
The latest on the English Premier League and more. Here are your hosts, Mike Mulligan and Kevin Zipak.
It's the Screamers and Howlers podcast with Kevmo and Mully. We are back at it. We've got a big card of games to look forward to. We've got a lot of thoughts on what has happened and where we're at, and maybe we even should talk about some U.S. national team soccer, because you've been following it so closely.
Well, you have been dying to get your U.S. Soccer thoughts out there into the ether, and you're right, I have not been following it as closely as you. I've been tracking the results and whatnot, but I have not been investing into this, into these games. I mean, Christian Pulisic has been injured as well, which,
that's true.
You know, he's kind of their star, their big star. But hopefully now, as you can get into here, that there is a new wave of stars and hopefully some names that if we're not already familiar with, then maybe we will be becoming more familiar with them, which is very refreshing given where we were a couple of years ago with this national team.
Yeah, I don't want to get over my skis on this stuff, but I did watch them play with the young players they brought in for the they were doing some foreign-based games, and I think the MLS was in season or in playoff or in cup. I don't know what the MLS was doing, but they just used all their foreign-based players, and it was really fun. It was really fun to see some of these young guys, and I thought they were really good. I really enjoyed seeing their midfield. My God, they've got a decent midfield, and they got a lot of 18-year-olds on their way up, so that's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. When you look at some of the age profiles of a lot of these up-and-comers for the United States, that's, for me, the most intriguing thing. It's back in 2010, 2014, the U.S. made a little noise in the World Cup a couple of times, and they obviously had, for that era, really good players, but it all seemed like they were late 20s, early 30s, even when Dempsey and Landon Donovan were playing well, or whomever, it was the star at that point of the team, they were past their primes, really. They're still good at that point, but you look at players now, not only Pulisic, but, Weston McKennie, who you brought up earlier, actually on the Mully and Haw show. Gio Reyna, who is obviously the son of former U.S. national Claudio Reyna. And these guys are Sergiño Dest, who is 18, 19 years old. We're talking about teenagers, guys, 20, 21 years old right now. Sky is really the limit.
Yeah, and we're talking about guys that are playing on really good teams,
Yeah, absolutely, and that's how you get better.
Cool. Yeah, it's to see, Gio Reyna is starting for Borussia Dortmund. You see Weston McKennie is playing for Juventus, for Juventus. That's incredible.
One of the best teams in the world. Yeah.
Absolutely. To have a guy on the old lady is pretty awesome. Dest, you mentioned, I believe he's with Barcelona.
Yeah, that's right.
They have a couple of players with Barcelona. I mean, it's very promising, and here's hoping that we get to follow these guys and we get to see how they do on within the European League, some of the top clubs, the Champions League will feature some of these young Americans, and that is really it's just exciting, and you know, here's hoping. So I'm pumped up for it, and I think it's going to be you know, a lot of fun to just kind of follow some of these careers and see how these guys do for themselves. And you know, it's it's amazing to a certain extent to see some of these guys, to see their age and to see how well they are playing with the national team. And you would think that that would be something to look forward to. But I mean, you know, let's be honest about it. They're still going to be fitting guys in. They're still going to be kind of assembling this team. They've got time now. They got a lot of off time, and it was just good to see how many young Americans are playing overseas and doing well with, as you say, some of the great teams in the world.
David Bowie wrote a song about that, Young Americans, at one point, I believe. over on the other side of the ocean, did you catch any of the Euro 20? They're still calling it Euro 2020, even though it'll be held next summer, God willing. But did you see any of the playoff games there and see the final four teams that qualified? I'm very excited to see Scotland to have qualified.
Scotland.
There are a tremendous amount of intriguing players on that roster to me, and they were one of the last four in, along with Slovakia, Hungary, and North Macedonia. So wow. some surprises there, you could say.
Yeah, I did not follow as much of that, and the only reason is that those games
were broadcast
on my television because I was looking for it. I think I told you this. I have all the Champions League games. I have this CBS.
The CBS
app.
All Access app is fantastic,
it's
isn't
unbelievable.
It?
Yeah. It's unbelievable because I think I told you this. I got it for the Star Trek shows. That's all I really cared about. And then all of a sudden it pops up with everything going on with the Champions League. And it's, you know, the quality of it is fantastic. It's really good. I'm really pleased about that. I've not gotten the Peacock network or whatever it is. So,
well, I think you've probably got it for free.
I have the download, but I don't get all the games.
Oh, you know, okay.
I did not watch the last United game on the Peacock network. I did manage to see the majority of it, but
I was going to say if you happen to have missed it.
Yeah, I didn't miss much.
Dear God, I said this to you yesterday off the air. You know, you shouldn't be ever embarrassed about a victory. You know, a win is a win, no matter how ugly it is. But I mean, the way that that game went down, I mean, the absolute audacity of these referees and the VAR system. I mean, West Brom just completely hosed in that game to even be given the penalty. Well, first of all, West Brom should have had a penalty at the other end when I believe Bruno, your guy, kicked Conor Gallagher, I think, of West Brom, clearly in the ankle, in the box. Maybe he went down a little bit easy, but that's, you know, the game. You get fouled in the box, that's you're going to try to sell it, you're going to get the penalty. So for some reason, that wasn't given. And then not 5 minutes later, on the other end of the pitch, Bruno gets a penalty, it gets saved, and then they let him take it again because apparently Sam Johnston of West Brom was off his line early or whatnot, and then Bruno does his little hippity-hoppity trot up to the ball, and it goes in the second time, and they win 1-0. They get the 3 points, and they get the hell out of there.
You know, listen, not the proudest moment. I'm not going to tell you it was a proud moment, but at least you didn't draw. Okay.
Yeah, it could. Yeah,
you didn't get a bad draw.
I know.
Pepe gets sent off.
I'm
not naming names. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just saying.
Well,
you know, and you were so lucky to get a draw. That was a joke. So, I mean, you want to go? Let's go.
Let's go. I'll go all day. Yeah, you're right. Absolutely lucky to have you know to have gotten 1 point there at Leeds, and just that sentence alone just kind of tells you where Arsenal are right now, doesn't it?
Leeds should have probably scored three.
I think they hit the crossbar post slash crossbar. Let's say the woodwork, three or four times in the second half alone. You know, Arsenal obviously were playing a man down for quite some time. Managed to actually get a couple chances of their own on the other end. But yeah, Nicola Pepe, just, you know, he's become a meme at this point. Do you know what I mean? Like he was so expensive. And then he didn't score for so long last season. And then by the time he actually did come around and start playing really well last year, people had kind of stopped paying attention Maybe that was due to the fact that, you know, Arsenal weren't really playing super exciting football, and they're still not. That's another issue. Or maybe it's the fact that he was scoring, you know, in lesser games, so to speak. You know, he wasn't scoring against the big team. He did have a goal against United, I remember, last year, but I digress. So now he's just become this player who is basically a meme. He was overpriced. He doesn't produce. He didn't play much to start the season. And then over the international break, he goes to the media, as players sometimes do, and talk about how they need to play more and they want more playing time and I need to feature more and this and that. So Arteta gives him a chance. He starts him at Leeds, you know, after the break. It's like, all right, you wanted your opportunity, here it is. And then just listen, it certainly was not the most severe headbutt you've ever seen in your life. Not a Glasgow kiss, if you will. But listen, you make contact with your forehead against another player's forehead. Again, right. You know, that, and I, top of my head, I can't remember the player from Leeds who put on a great performance. He went down like a sack of potatoes and acted like he just got shot, which is embellishing. But listen, you're gonna take that. You're gonna try to get that guy sent off every single time. So the guy obviously wasn't injured. I don't think Pepe was trying to injure him. It was, you know, a little bit tense. I think before that, the two players were getting a little chippy with one another, and he lost his composure, moment of madness, whatever you want to call it, lack of brain cells at that given moment. So he sent off straight red. He'll miss the next three games, and yeah, not good at all, especially, like I said, for a player who is basically pleading to get more playing time. This is how he repays the manager's faith in him.
Why don't they just keep all that on the training ground? Shouldn't they be just fighting?
A lot of that going on the training ground, apparently, too.
Oh,
yeah, the report that Danny Ceballos and David Luiz, your guy, got into it a little bit. I think one of them drew blood. I think that just a bit of a scratch on the nose.
I believe they declared your guy. Don't make him my guy. David Luiz,
a new father, by the way. So congratulations to David Luiz, who his partner had another child over the weekend. That's why he missed the game against Leeds. You know, if he plays in that game, maybe they don't keep the clean sheet. So maybe it's a good thing that he missed out there. And you had Gabriel and Rob Holding, who were able to at least salvage the 1 point. But yeah, things are not great right now in either one of our respective worlds,
well,
are they?
What did you think of Arteta coming out after that practiced a punch-up?
Mm-hmm.
And basically saying that he's going to find out who leaked it to the media and there will be consequences. That's his takeaway?
That's like a veiled threat, isn't it? I mean,
it wasn't veiled.
No,
it was a flat-out threat.
Thinly veiled, maybe, we'll say.
No, it was
no
a
veil
threat.
Whatsoever.
There was no veil involved.
There was no veil. It was a veilless threat.
Isn't that bizarre?
I found it to be a little bit bizarre. Yeah, I think that you should be more concerned with the incident itself rather than the reporting of the incident. And this is not the first time, and I like Danny Ceballos, so I think he's a good player, but this is not the first time that he has been involved in a little bit of a dust up with a teammate. You know, there's this Luiz thing, and then before the Fulham game, the very first game of the season, there was a video that was going around on Twitter of Ceballos and Eddie Nketiah kind of, you know, handbags before the game. So I don't know if Ceballos is just kind of, you know, a super competitor, a prickly pear, maybe just kind of a bag. I don't know what it is with Danny Ceballos, but when you find yourself, when you find one guy, you know, getting involved in the same incidents a couple of times within the spell of just, you know, a couple of months, you know, that's not good. And for all of the talk of Arteta and what he has done and what he hasn't done since he's been in the job, because it's been almost a calendar year. We're at about 11 months, because I remember last Thanksgiving, Mully, you know, I had to take a break from some of the NFL football, and I remember Arsenal were playing that day on Thanksgiving last year, and they were beaten in the Europa League. I don't know, Freiburg, they were beaten by somebody that was not very good, and they looked horrible, and Unai Emery was fired the day after that. And then I think Freddie Ljungberg was in charge as a caretaker for about 3 or 4 weeks.
Yes.
And then Arteta was brought in. And
yes.
I think everybody at that time, and still a lot of people, you know, there's always the angry reactionary Twitter people that want to say, this is unacceptable, fire this guy, he's not doing anything, and want to, you know, get over their skis about it. I think a lot of people, myself included, still want to buy in and be patient. But one of the things that was already said about Arteta was that he cleaned up the culture, you know, at the club. And Emery had left it, you know, inmates running the asylum, and they had no respect for him, and there was discipline issues and this and that. And the one thing that a lot of people pointed to in defense of Mikel Arteta up to this point was that he changed the culture and he changed the clubhouse and this and that, and now they're professionals again and everybody's going to be in their best behavior. And now, yeah, you know, players getting sent off and players getting into scuffles, yes, and, you know, vindictive threats against the media for reporting things. It doesn't seem like a great A-plus culture to me from where I'm sitting right now.
So are you looking for Pochettino? You got to let me know.
He wouldn't take this job.
I need to jump first.
Pochettino wouldn't take this gig. Are you kidding me? He'd be shooting much higher than Arsenal.
So United, as you say, they managed to beat West Brom Albion.
Yeah.
And I read somewhere that the owner of West Brom Albion is a Chinese gentleman by the name of, I'm going to butcher this, Guanchun Lau, and he's going to sell the team to an American consortium. Did you read this? They're an American consortium.
I love consortiums.
By an Egyptian billionaire. I love being backed by a billionaire.
I would love to be backed by a billionaire.
Yeah, doesn't that sound like, well, I have nothing, but I am.
But I'm backed.
But he's taking, like, I think he bought the team for, I don't know, $267 million,
mm-hmm,
and he's willing to sell it for $200 million.
Well, he just wants to get out then, huh? He's not even looking to turn a profit on the baggies.
He wants to get out, and I think the other thing, there's a complication where they've gotten back into the Premier League, but for how long?
Right.
So are you buying that team and then going right back down, right?
Yeah,
so
that's a danger, certainly. You'd like to avoid that.
Probably why he's trying to get out while he can get out, but it's not working out. So it, you know, to sell off at a 15% loss is not very good, especially when one bid has already been turned down where you would have done better. So keep an eye on that.
Yeah, anytime there's news of a takeover or a billionaire investing in a team or backed by a consortium of billionaires or whatever, it's always interesting because you know, look no further than the likes of Manchester City for, you know, a team going from and also ran to a perennial powerhouse with the injection of foreign money. So that's always something you got to keep an eye on. There were rumors of a Newcastle sale, you know, over the past couple of years as well. And that one kind of comes and goes every now and then. And I'm sure a lot of Newcastle supporters would not mind their team being sold. Hell, who wouldn't want their team sold to a billionaire, wouldn't they? But yeah, West Brom, you know, you mentioned that they might just be back down into the championship before we know it. They haven't won a game yet. They've only got 3 points on the season. They're 19th right now. Sheffield lost again at the weekend. They have just 1 point on the season, and Fulham in 18th right now. That rounds out the bottom three. Did you happen to see Burnley yesterday? They got their first win of the season. I know.
You backed them, right?
I did, yeah. And, you know, that's,
I thought I cautioned you that he who gambles lives in shambles, and you told me you were backing them, and I said,
I was backing them in spirit. I didn't back them financially.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
Yeah,
because I thought that was crazy.
I thought, you know, and I've had conversations with a lot of friends about this, that maybe Burnley, their run of luck in the Premier League had kind of run out because they play a certain style, and you know, if they're not completely, you know, managing that game how they want to play, they're going to find themselves in trouble, and they don't spend any money. And you thought maybe that their run had come to an end, but they looked pretty good defensively yesterday. Granted, it was against Palace, and they didn't have Wilfried Zaha. I think you have to add that caveat for sure. But, you know, when they get their center defense back, you know, the Tarkowski-Ben Mee partnership is a pretty good one, and Nick Pope's a pretty good goalie. So, you know, they're going to be able to squeak out some results and get some clean sheets as they go along here, and maybe they won't be in danger as we kind of chug along the league here. But let's look at the top of the table, Mully, because it's we've been going at this for about 18 minutes here now, and I've been not wanting to mention that Tottenham are in first place, top of the table, 20 points. They're a level on points with Liverpool right now.
Josie working the magic.
But they have a higher goal differential, and it looks like Josie is
working the magic,
doing his thing. He's Josieing it up. You know, it's they're hitting on the counter and they're taking their chances when they're there, and you know, they're getting some good performances, pretty much all around. You know, obviously Kane and Son are gonna take most of the plaudits and the headlines, but they're getting you know, really good performances from everywhere right now. And I read on Twitter a couple days ago after their victory, their latest victory, that this is the latest ever in a Premier League season that Spurs have been top of the table. Can you believe that?
Wow, you just want to take a shot.
No, I'm just throwing it out there as a fun fact.
It's not they're that good. Late. It's fairly early.
No, it's not even Thanksgiving.
Okay, it's not even Thanksgiving. Yes. Yeah. But did you see this? That Harry Kane right now has 9 assists.
He's making plays, man. He's
assists.
Yeah.
Kane has become like this playmaker under Josie. Like, where did that come from?
Yeah, well, he's always been a pretty good passer. You know, for
9 assists.
He's always been a good passer, but he was also such an excellent finisher. You know that part of his game was all, you know, kind of overlooked by some. I won't say all, but by some. That being said, you know, him and Son isn't just. In such incredible form right now that you see now when you watch Spurs play, oftentimes Son is the furthest man forward, and Kane yes. kind of just tucks behind him and will look to, you know, make a pass rather than maybe a couple of years ago where he would selfishly, you know, take a shot from anywhere when he gets a little bit of space. Now he has kind of added another aspect, you know, to Spurs attack where. He's looking to, you know, kind of feed his teammates right now. And Son is just unplayable right now. I mean, it seems like he's scoring in every single game. I think actually here, I took a little minor shot at Spurs with that stat earlier. I think Heung-min Son alone right now has as many points as Arsenal do on the whole season.
Wow.
So I'd have to double check on that. I mean, maybe it's actually Dominic Calvert-Lewin of Everton, but it's somebody that's been scoring for fun this year. But Arsenal cannot score. And I look around at all of these other teams, whether it's Spurs or Liverpool or Everton or you know, whoever else is playing really good football right now. And it just makes me feel even worse as an Arsenal fan, because despite all of the other BS with, you know, the drama that's going on off the pitch, on the pitch, it's actually been quite ugly as well.
It's got to hurt to see Spurs doing as well as they're doing.
You know, what can you say? I've got Son on my fantasy team. So I'm not completely broken up about it. I mean, there's silver lining there. Actually, I didn't draft him. I traded for him. So that just goes to show how impartial I am, all right, that I'm willing to take on a Tottenham player. But yeah,
lined up next to Ozil then? How are you doing?
No, I certainly do not have Ozil. Do you want me to go on a tangent about my fantasy team? Because I'm stacked this year, Mully. I've got Son. I've got Aguero. I've got Firmino. I've got Diego Jota. I've got Kevin De Bruyne. He's fit. Pep said this morning that everybody's ready.
They need him.
They do need him because they have not been able to score consistently at all without him this year. And, you know, they're all the way down in 13th for crying out loud. You know that's bad when you're below Arsenal and United in the league table. United are 10th, Arsenal are 12th, and Man City are 13th. So they absolutely need Aguero. I mean, that loss has been just monumental for them so far this year. Looking at Liverpool a little bit, they kind of routed Leicester in a game that I think a lot of people thought was going to be much more competitive on Sunday. And they, you know, obviously Salah was out with COVID, and Van Dijk is going to be done for the year. Joe Gomez is missing a lot of time. He had a knee operation. Jordan Henderson was out. I mean, Alexander Arnold, for crying out loud. Half their team is missing, and we're talking about really, you know, really high level players here, and they just wiped the floor with Leicester City, didn't they? I mean, that game was not close. Liverpool from the jump were in control. Jota is just, it looks like another fantastic signing for Klopp, and it's weird when they're missing the caliber of players that they're missing, and it doesn't look like they skip a beat whatsoever. I think that reflects really well on the manager, don't you?
Yeah, I think they're a big money club, and they have been able to go out and get players. I think Klopp's done a remarkable job, no question about it. I I'll be very curious to see how things go this year, and you know, whether Spurs can keep it up and whether Liverpool is going to be challenged, where City's at, United, Arsenal, everyone. I mean, I think it's
– Chelsea, you know, don't forget Chelsea.
Chelsea, yeah. Of course. We always talk about the Big Six, and then there was that proposal, if you remember that, Project Big Picture, where they were talking about, you know, separating, getting into like a permanent Champions League
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, don't like all that. Sorts of,
you don't like that idea.
No, I kind of hate it.
Well, you know what's interesting about that? There was a recent study done. I think it was from the University of Liverpool. I don't know where I read it, but it's basically they did a study on television ratings. And there are two teams that make the ratings jump by 75%.
It's a big jump.
Two teams.
Yeah.
Do you know who they are?
No. Tell me.
You know who they are.
I don't.
Liverpool is one. And the other one, you know.
Is it Manchester United?
Of course. But those two teams make the ratings jump 75%.
That's interesting.
In the EPL. I know part of it is because people hate United, and part of it is
well, there's people massive love fan base across the entire
right.
world. You know,
and I think Liverpool are an amazingly attractive team.
Yeah, they're big box
they have,
office,
they
you know, high
once
flying.
Once again, climbed to the top of the mountain after falling pretty far. I don't know that 5 years ago, Liverpool would have been one of the two teams, but it's kind of interesting, and I think that it does speak to the popularity of the game around the world, but it also speaks to kind of, you know, it speaks more to United, in my opinion, than Liverpool, because they're good, and United isn't, but they do have some sachet, if you will.
I think, there's very much that kind of Yankee-esque, you know, or the Patriots
yes.
in their heyday, where you will have right. casuals and neutrals tuning in to see them lose. I think United very much have that air to them. And while Liverpool, you know, I don't want to discredit their fan base worldwide as well, you know, it has gone up, I think, considerably over the Klopp era, because they've been successful, you know, first and foremost, but also, you know, they play of such an exciting brand of football. You know, they are constantly trying to play positively and make things happen, and they have star players. You know, that doesn't surprise me very much at all, you know, knowing that Liverpool popped the ratings. But maybe I shouldn't really be surprised by United either, just given their scope and their and their size. And speaking of the Big Six, Mully, and we kind of just use that term now almost nebulously. Like, what does it even mean? What is the Big Six? Who's in yeah. the Big Six? Who's not in the Big Six? Because traditionally, you would say Liverpool, United, City, Chelsea, Spurs, Arsenal, and Leicester. That was kind of what people thought the Big Six was. And, you know, as we mentioned before, United in 10th, Arsenal in 12th, City in 13th. Everton in six. They're still kind of hanging around. They've faltered a little bit recently, but they're still, you know, right in the thick of it. And then Southampton still at this point in the season, just 9 matches in, but you have to give Southampton a ton of credit for being in 5th place right now. They got a point at Wolves yesterday in a game that that was the one I bet on. I bet on Wolverhampton in that one to win. I didn't cash that bet. But Southampton, you have to give Ralph Hootson, how do you say that guy's last name? I'll just call him Ralph. You got to give Ralph a ton of credit for what he's been able to do there, because Southampton's certainly not a big spender compared to the other clubs that we're talking about here in the quote-unquote Big Six and a little bit further down the table. So, listen, it's not Thanksgiving yet. The table, I don't know if it's taking form yet. You know, all due respect to Southampton, do I see them finishing in the top five by the end of the season? No, probably not. Do I see Spurs winning the league this year? No, I don't. So I don't know if I would say that the table is taking shape per se, but I think after every weekend, it's just fun to evaluate and see where everybody is, and you know, that's all we can do is just evaluate what we've seen up to this point. You know, we can't predict the future.
I don't enjoy that as much as you do, because I don't see a way that there's going to be a big jump. You know what I mean? Like,
I need football
more time
left to play,
to make
man.
My jump.
You got, but this is so, we're coming up on match day 10 only it's this weekend. Enough. You know, we're not even a third into this thing.
Yeah.
So.
I get it. I get what you're saying, but please give me a little more time. I can't
make maybe as much time as you need
based on what I'm seeing. I also, I want to see who's kind of running which clubs, if you know what I'm saying.
Sure, I think that's what you always kind of come back to is your guy Ed Woodward, right? And the Glazers above him.
That's a problem.
Yeah,
and I think that maybe Pochettino's on his way. I don't know when, but I just feel like he's about to go somewhere, so you got to kind of make some kind of move. Right?
How are you going to fire Ollie, though? He got that result at versus West Brom. I mean, he's at the wheel, is he not?
Okay. I don't know. I don't know if he's at the wheel. I don't know how long.
Maybe he's asleep at the wheel. He's Tony La Russa. So Southampton, United will visit Southampton on the South Coast. On Sunday, and I think that's a super interesting matchup given where they are respectively in the table. I don't know. But that's going to be really interesting to see because Southampton have been in really good form and have been acquitting themselves really well so far this season. United, you know, you don't know what you're going to get. Honestly, they have been such an unpredictable kind of mixed bag so far this season. One I'm really going to be paying attention to Sunday, 8 o'clock. Chelsea-Tottenham, probably the main event of the weekend. You'd have to say Sunday at 10:30, a London derby, and two rivals and two teams that Spurs top of the table and Chelsea not too far behind. So that's going to be probably a really good one there as well. Man City will obviously, you know, given where they are, they're going to be looking to get 3 points versus Burnley. You should expect that. And Arsenal versus Wolves, I mean, at this point where I'm at with Arsenal, you know, I'm never predicting a win or 3 points or anything. And Wolves have kind of been another team that have struggled to get out of the gates a little bit and really kind of achieve the form that we've seen them be able to harness over the past couple of seasons since they've been promoted. So I think that's going to be a super important match for both of those teams as they're obviously neither one of them will be pleased where they are right now so far into this season. And I think it's a huge game for both Arsenal and Wolverhampton.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that assessment. I think you're absolutely right. And, you know, I still think that there's more to Arsenal. I can't believe.
My God, I hope so.
Yeah, well, I can't believe it's that bad. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I would be very surprised if they couldn't figure things out a little bit. And I mean that really collectively with some of the big money clubs. And I get it. You know, things have been more competitive than ever, maybe in part because it is very difficult to figure things out in this kind of era.
In these unprecedented times.
Well, and I don't want to keep saying that, but I mean, it is hard to figure out what is going on.
No, you're 100% right about that. I mean, when you're playing in these big cavernous stadiums with nobody in there, you know, it's hard to quantify what kind of effect that's having and maybe is responsible for some of these results and some of the league positions that are surprising up to this point. And even coming down the stretch in the summer when they restarted it. And again, you know, obviously no fans in the crowds, you know, what kind of effect is that going to have? I did see yesterday, though, that starting in December, and I don't know if this is official yet, but I saw it on Sky, so it's somewhat reputable, that they're going to start letting people into Premier League matches now, starting next month at a limited basis. I believe 4,000 was the number that I saw, and you would think, given the size of some of these grounds, that you could space them out as safely as you know possible and have restrictions in terms of what you can and cannot do. So maybe that's good news trending in the right direction. I mean, you know, it's hard to find good news regarding the virus right now at this point. It's really kind of a hellscape, certainly in this country. But, you know, it's not going away in Europe either. So they're going to have to be safe and really try to enforce some of the regulations that they're going to put on some of the supporters, if they are indeed let back in as soon as next month.
You know, it's been whatever 8 long months since supporters were there, mm-hmm. right? And did you see that Boris Johnson talked about that?
Your guy.
Apparently, the plan is to get up to 4,000 fans being allowed to attend matches starting on December 2nd despite all that's going on. Now that seems insane, but you know, they're trying, they've been trying to come up with ways to get supporters in there and to, you know, to get more financial backing. And, you know, clubs are, you know, it's all, television is king, obviously. So it's all coming down to the TV contracts in every sport in every country. But at some point, you know, hopefully there is an end in sight, right?
I think that we've gotten positive news regarding vaccines, yes. You know, and you know, like you said, we don't know exactly how far out or how effective they'll be in distribution and price. You know, there are a million other things that you have to factor in. But yeah, you know, there are at least a few things that you can kind of take solace in and maybe hang your hat on and be optimistic about. It can't be all doom and gloom all the time, can it? Even on this podcast.
It's just hard to imagine that they're coming out of another lockdown a week from Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Doesn't that seem a week from tomorrow? I mean, that just seems like, and again, I'm basing it just on what we're
seeing.
Seem
much
here.
Doesn't seem like there's much rhyme or reason to it, does it?
No, it just seems like, and again, you know, I get it. I think people are talking about, well, there are a lot of cases, but the death toll is lower. You know, one person
that's
dies,
reassuring.
I mean, what? And here in this country, we had, what, 150,000 cases in one day?
Mm-hmm.
Which was a high, right?
Yeah, I don't see it leveling off, really, either. With the holidays coming up, that's going to be a problem. You're going to see another spike, but let's not get too...
I do think, you know, we follow all sports in America, and we saw all these college football games canceled. And a lot of the belief is that college kids were out for Halloween. They were going to Halloween parties, and that's why we saw that reflected in a number of athletes that had their issues. And, you know, again, that's college sports, and I know it's different, but my God, you know, here we are with Thanksgiving, and, you know, I don't know whether I should confess this or not, but the CDC came out and told everyone not to travel for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And don't do it. It's a big mistake and all that. And there were a million people that traveled on Sunday. 1 million people in the United States traveled despite being warned off it. And I would like to call all of them jerks for doing it.
Do it.
But my daughter was among them.
Oh.
We brought my daughter home from Montreal. And she came in the first flight, and we were there and out of the airport very quickly. Nonetheless, we're part of the problem. And she's 18. I mean, she's supposed to miss Thanksgiving and Christmas with her family. It just didn't seem like she should be counted. But I mean, I guess what I'm saying is it's not like we wanted to take a family vacation to Florida.
Right.
It's not like we were going to Hawaii. We were just
not
trying
going to
get
Disney.
Our child home.
Yeah.
But it's not good, is it? I mean, and I'm part of the problem, I believe.
Well, I listen, man.
I apologize.
Thank you for apologizing, but I don't know what to tell you. You know, there is obviously, it's easy to say, you know, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, and then, but you have to also, and you just kind of laid it out there. You have to factor in the human, you know, kind of emotional element to this. Obviously, we don't want anybody to get sick and like that, but you love your daughter. You haven't seen her in God knows how long. You know, you want to spend the holidays with her, and you have to kind of weigh these things out. So it's a very conflicting, very weird time, and I frankly can't wait for the sweet release of this year to just over with and things to just go back to some sort of normality, if we can ever get back to it.
My brother's family comes every year to our house for Christmas, and it's like a tradition we've had. You know, it's wonderful. They're great people. We love them dearly. There's five of them and five of us. They've canceled their trip, mm-hmm. So we did cancel one of our Christmas, you know, get-togethers, one of our family reunion type things. But what are you going to do? I mean, I couldn't cancel my daughter coming home, and we tried to get her home earlier, and she's in college, and I mean it's just hard, but I'm so and you know what, she took a test and she got clear. Now she flew home and now she's taking another test and hopefully she's clear again, but we're trying everything we can to be careful about it. But, you know, it's definitely a violation. United plays today, you know, in the Champions League.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I'll – no, I mean,
that's
I don't –
That's a definite no.
I don't
know.
Well, I don't really enjoy watching United play. I'm not one of those people. They don't
well, – What are you talking about? Didn't we just discuss the television ratings?
Yeah, well, you know, but after seeing that dross against West Brom at the weekend,
so you did watch.
I did watch, yeah. Well, I turned it off after the BS second penalty was allowed because I was so irate. If I'm going to watch.
You don't want to see Başakşehir play them?
No, I don't want to see Başakşehir, no.
The Turkish team.
There are some good games in the Champions League this week. That's not one of them, though. I mean, you know, you could look toward Inter and Real Madrid tomorrow. I know Liverpool and Atalanta play tomorrow as well. Bayern versus Red Bull Salzburg tomorrow. So most of the good games, in my opinion, are going to be tomorrow. But your guy Weston McKennie and Juventus play today.
Yes.
Dortmund, Giorena, he plays today as well.
Yes.
So you've got, and Barcelona plays today as well. So you can see Serginho Dest, you know, the American representation. Look at us bringing it back full circle. See what we did there? Talked
That's
about the
fun.
USA at the beginning, and now we're back here. All right,
wow.
Let's go.
So does that mean we can end?
That's it. Let's go.
Well, we want to wish a happy weekend to everyone. Happy Black Friday. Go ahead and order all your – get your doorbusters. Line
no, I, that's – we've canceled doorbusters.
We've canceled doorbusters.
Yeah.
We're going Cyber Monday.
The doors will not be busted this year.
So enjoy your weekend. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. But don't be running out to get some, you know, coffee mug for $6 and then you get – you know, they force you to buy a TV.
Yeah, buy it online.
Do it all online, Cyber Monday.
It's fine. It's easy.
All right, Kevin, you're the best, buddy. We're enjoying ourselves.
Always.
Yeah, and I apologize again to you for ruining COVID.
Ah, well, that's...
Spreading COVID, whatever I've done.
Fine.
All right.
I'll live. I don't know about you, but...
Yeah, exactly. I'm much more likely. I'm 75% more likely to be watched dead on TV than you are.
Yeah, I've had these COVID symptoms for about 5-6 years now, so I'm probably in the clear. Cough... Chest pains, headache, my God.
It. Yeah, that's called a panic attack. All right. He's Kempo.
Let's beat on this shift, I think.
Thanks for listening to the Screamers and Howlers podcast.
Come the chicks, come on!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.